Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Highbury Squad. We didn't record last week, but this week I haven't got my sister from another mister with me. Unfortunately, the lovely Sophie's not well. So tonight I do have my other partner in crime, Mr. Kevin Campbell.
Hi Amanda, how are you?
I'm good, very good, really, really good. How are you?
Excellent, thanks.
I think we'll all be excellent tonight, won't we?
Yeah, I do. I think we will.
We're high on life, high on football, high on Arsenal. Tonight we got a really special guest. Okay. So I'm going to let him tell him all about himself. But Tom is actually a mate of mine as well that we drink in the pub with. So he's actually real. He's not just someone on the internet. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm very good, darling. How are you?
Yeah, yeah, all good, all good. It's always better after an Arsenal win, aren't we? So
we are. Stuff. So, Tom, tell everybody, because I know what you do, but you run the Gooner Talk TV, is it?
Yes, yes. I've run the Gooner Talk for about 2 years or so since, obviously, it was started by Craig, who with Lee Judges does the same old Arsenal podcast. And after Craig left that after a year, I took it over and have done it ever since.
Oh, brilliant. And I've been a guest on there a few times, haven't I? I've loved it. Really enjoyed it.
Yep, yep. It's
but
all good.
You're into, is it the Spanish League or is that Drew? I can't remember which one's into which.
Drew is our New York representee.
He's in the German League. He loves the German league.
He's our German expert, yeah.
Right. But aren't you into Spanish or something? Or have I got this wrong?
Yeah, yeah. So my speciality is Spanish football.
That's what I felt.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, everyone. Well, we've all just watched, haven't we, the Fulham game. And I don't even know where to start, to be honest. Kev, when the lineup was announced, what did you think?
It was obviously a shuffling of the pack. But I thought to myself, it was interesting because I think the manager's setting up the team to play, to beat the opposition, not just picking the best team. He's actually game planning for Fulham. So it was interesting to see Welbeck starting, for instance, and Mkhitaryan. So, you know, it was an interesting lineup, to say the least.
Okay. Tom, what did you think?
Yeah, it was a little bit confusing when I saw the lineup pop up because obviously we just played a midweek game in which we saw the likes of Welbeck start, and you think if that's going to happen, then we're most likely to start a stronger side and not see the likes of Welbeck playing in a Premier League game. But we did, and I was quite happy about it in the end because it meant that finally we're playing players in positions that they're more accustomed to, and instead of like shoehorning Aubameyang and Lacazette into those wing and striker positions, to see players playing where they should be was great, and it clearly had a great effect too.
Yeah, really, really did, didn't it? Listen, what I'm going to do, as Sophie's not with us, she sent us a little voice note, so I'm going to play it so then we can discuss it.
Hey guys, I've been travelling for work and have come back not feeling very well. I don't think you could take an hour of this voice, but perhaps you can for 30 seconds. I just wanted to say hi to Kev and Amanda. I've missed them a ton. I'll be back on the show next week. But I was so elated with the performance today. Even with this voice, I had to chime in and just say something. What a performance. The evolution under Unai continues. Such a positive game for the team today. They're playing like a united group. It's incredible to watch. We haven't seen this in years. In Lacazette and Aubameyang, we haven't had strikers like this who can turn a game on a whim like Robin Van Persie used to do. I think that was about the last time we had that. Leno adds a totally different confident dimension to the back line. You can see they feel a lot more comfortable with him on the ball. The midfield continues to evolve with that Xhaka and Torreira partnership. Torreira makes Xhaka look like so much of a better player, and Torreira was everywhere today. And how important is he quickly becoming to this team? The subs that came in and out, the players that started, Iwobi, Welbeck, Ramsey, everybody did their role today. It was just a beautiful thing to witness. And that Ramsey goal, after just being on the pitch for 39 seconds, was so delicious. I've chosen to eat that instead of my Sunday roast dinner. Hope everyone is well. So much to be happy and positive about. No negativity today. 9 wins out of 9 in all competitions, and 6 wins on the trot in the Premier League against teams we would have lost to over the last few seasons. And how about that away form? Incredible. Hashtag always Arsenal. Get in there.
That's our soap. A lot to talk about there, actually. I wanted to bring this up about Robin Van Persie, actually, because I feel like I'm looking at Lacazette and I'm looking at Aubameyang and thinking, we've got two brilliant strikers here. Yet, Kev, do you remember when Sophie was talking about York and, oh, God, who's the other one? My brain is...
Oh, Cole.
Cole, that's it. And you two argued about the fact that it couldn't become like that. But it is slowly becoming a little bit like a partnership, isn't it?
If you remember correctly, what she mentioned in York and Cole, it's difficult to be a York and Cole because York and Cole played as a tandem, as a front two. Yes, there's kept great chemistry between them. They do look out for each other on the pitch, which is pretty unique in this day and age.
Yeah.
And they certainly know where the goal is. I would like to see them form their own partnership as a front two. But I think Unai Emery got it perfectly right today. You know, Aubameyang on the bench, and he brought him on, and, you know, the substitution was devastating. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant by the manager. You just have to say that.
I just feel that, I think, I mean, what you said is very, very true. We've not had like a bromance up front for years, have we? Not where you can actually see the joy on both of their faces, whoever scores. They both want each other to score. You know, it was interesting thereafter, post-match comments when the commentator said to them, you both scored great goals, but you didn't score the best goal. You know, Ramsey did. And they said, we don't care. You know, and I love that team spirit. Tom, you know, obviously we're going to go back and talk about Carabag in a minute, but what stood out for you today more than anything?
That's a really great question. Because in a game in which we score 5 goals, it's sometimes really tricky to pick out just a single instant. I mean, if I may have a couple, first off is the manager. His reaction on the sideline really stood out for me, obviously, after having Arsene Wenger for 22 years. Really be off his seat, and it was always sort of a frustrating thing to see other managers practically orchestrate their teams for 90 minutes. To see Unai Emery so vicious in the way that he is orchestrating himself on the touchline, and he acts like a conductor, just gesticulating all over the place and trying to get players to the right positions. And when we score, the passion that is clearly there for his team is fantastic. I think I've noticed, and it's happened over the last few games or so, the reaction after half time from this Arsenal side is incredible. I don't know what he does in that change room at half time, but he says something special, because each time we come out with new vigour, we come out with new passion to really get that second half win and take all 3 points. So for me, the thing that stood out today is Unai Emery's the way he took the game into the second half and how he acted on that touchline.
It was interesting. I did a tweet, actually. I've done loads of tweets today, but one of the tweets I did was about him and his subs. I honestly sit there sometimes, look at his subs. I don't criticise, and I go, oh, okay, that's interesting. I wonder why. Every time he makes a sub, it seems to work. He doesn't seem to 2 or 3 nil up make a sub to hold the game, does he? He keeps going. It's like, why are you bringing him on when we're 2 or 3 nil up? I just thought it was really interesting to watch. You know, we're not used to him. As you said, we've had Wenger for over 20 odd years. You know, the passion on the touchline is amazing to see. I mean, I love a manager that does this. I just, you know, I think it's wonderful for us to see this, of course. The fact that subs are not being made at 69 minutes every game, the fact that we're not scripted like that, the fact that he will make changes when he feels like that. But Kevin, you know, a friend of mine also said to me that when you have training all week and you're set up to play a team, and then all of a sudden in the 51st minute, he changes it. Now, from a fan's point of view, we feel he's changing it for the best, obviously, and especially the last 9 games. He's not put a foot wrong, has he? But how does that work for players that have got a system all the way maybe to 60, 70 minutes and that he changes it, though? What would it have worked like for you?
Yeah, I think the way they train is what they're actually set up to achieve. So I think what you would tend to do in training is you'd do multiple sessions of a system, and he'll be putting players in and out of that system. So players get used to not being in it to start with and then going in it afterwards when he makes a change, because it's not uncanny that he keeps getting it right. You know, players come on and make a difference. Aubameyang, Ramsey, were sensational substitutions, but they're actually coming on, making a huge difference to the team. And that is understanding what you're actually doing and what the manager actually wants to achieve. So from a player perspective, I think he's got the players so well drilled on what they need to do that whether they're actually starting or if he's adjusting and getting them off the bench, they're ready for it, which is, again, like you said, it's something that we haven't seen in a long, long time at Arsenal.
So,
and it's welcome.
I was going to say, so you think it's a good thing, yeah?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I do. It's just that I was talking to someone else that said it may mess the players up a little bit if they think there's one system going on and then all of a sudden he just keeps changing it. But it doesn't seem to look like that, does it? I mean, Tom, we could go through each player. So apart from Monreal giving the ball away for their goal, which I don't know what he was doing, but you know what? Players make mistakes. They're not perfect, are they? So, you know, I don't understand his theory there, but he has and they've scored from it. We just look like a team in unity. We just look like no one cares who scores. No one's got that ego. They don't care. Mm. They're all for each other. I mean, Bellerin last season, to me, deteriorated. I just didn't know what was going on. Bellerin now is improving with each game. I mean, I need to talk about this Ramsey goal. Okay, I just need to. I've watched it, I would say, 10 times. Okay. It starts with Ramsey and ends with Ramsey, and the amount of players involved. I mean, we're all talking about Ramsey's back flick, but did you see Bellerin's flick? I mean, it was beautiful to watch, but what I'm trying to get at is I feel like we're all unified. I mean, look, I've been to a lot of away games in the last 5 years where it's been toxic. For one reason or another, mainly because if you're Arsene Wenger in or you were out, okay. It doesn't feel like this so much now, where I know winning always helps. Of course it does. I mean, if we were sitting here today after a loss, we wouldn't be as buzzy as we were. But I just feel like this change is much needed with Emery coming in. I feel like the players, I mean, we need to talk about Iwobi, but the players seem much more comfortable in their positions. They seem to know what they're doing. Torreira is exactly what we needed. I mean, you could go through the team, couldn't you? Even Mustafi played well today. I don't mean to mock it, but I was watching him thinking, he's actually a decent defender. So what do you think has been the, all right, apart from Emery, but what do you think has been the main difference now? To be this early on, I thought the change would come, we'd see some improvement 5-6 months. But it's much quicker than I imagined.
The unity that you spoke about just in your little monologue there is for me the biggest change. I think we saw a lot of players in the end of last season sort of, even though they knew Wenger was leaving, they sort of already submitted and surrendered to that fact. And even before the announcement came, They lacked life. They lacked encouragement. They lacked the injection of what is the actual end goal? Where is our ceiling? That didn't seem to be there. Now, as you say, it's a new leash of life for all the players. We've seen that in their performances. The first two games were against two absolutely fantastic sides this season in Manchester City and Chelsea, who are the only two teams, apart from Liverpool, that are above us right now in the table. And we lost to those two teams. So after that point, we've seen an absolute different change in our style. But we've still kept the ingrained nature of Arsenal, of this nice passing play. I mean, we can talk about the Aaron Ramsey goal all day, and I would happily do a million podcasts purely on that goal. Because it was, I mean, let's be honest, it was stupid. It was just ridiculous how good that goal was. But it's nice to see that ingrained Arsenal-ness about us is still there, even though Unai is changing the team and changing the way we play in certain areas. And I thought it was great to see Leno start his first Premier League game, and we can really start integrating the style of playing out from the back with a player who is much more adept at doing that.
Kev, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. What I would add to that is, obviously, Petr Cech's misfortune has become Arsenal's fortune. Because when you actually see the way Leno handles the ball at the back, he's like another outfield player. It's a joy to watch, and the defenders you can see a lot more comfortable when he's got the ball at his feet and he plays it out very well. I think what I've noticed about Arsenal, particularly today, was there's a freshness and a hunger to hunt the ball. Arsenal have kept their flair when they've got the ball and they're in possession. But when they're out of possession, there's a hunger about this squad to go and win the ball back. I mean, I've never seen a striker since probably Ian Rush win the ball back like Lacazette. He's getting back at midfielders. He's nicking the ball back. He's doing all sorts. There's a definite hunger about the team. And if you ever want to win anything in football, you've got to have a hunger about you. And this group, the whole group now, seem to have it. And what Emery's doing is definitely rubbing off on the squad.
It does feel like that, doesn't it? It really feels like, for once, I'm actually excited about going to the Emirates. You know, I actually feel like something exciting is going to happen all the time, because if it doesn't and we go 1-0 down, it changes it, and we're not used to that, are we?
No, we're not. Look, Tom, we're not used to it, Amanda. We're not used to it, and it's sad that we're not used to it, because that used to be a huge trait of the football club. But they've, you know, Unai Emery's come in and he's making a difference. So that's brilliant for us. One second, everyone. Tom, over to you.
Who's at your door? Is it the pizza man?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with what Kev's saying there. I think when you look at this Arsenal side this season, there is just a new energy about us. The fact that we're on this winning run now is a massive sign of that. I'd love to see someone post a picture of the table for the last 5, 6, 7 seasons or so after 8 games and see how close we are to the top of the table. And what's interesting about that is that's not anywhere near in our fantasies at the beginning of the season about where we should be aiming for. A lot, and I think most Arsenal fans would agree, our aim ultimately under Unai Emery in the initial stages of his reign should be about trying to get back into the Champions League before we think anything about competing for the title. But just to see ourselves only 2 points off Chelsea, City and Liverpool after 8 games, it really does go to show the difference this man has made into the team.
Yeah, I also feel that at the beginning, when I was asked on a radio show that I was on, what's your expectations? This was about July, August time, just before we kicked off. And I went, top four and winning the FA Cup. It would never have occurred to me that we were going to be here at this position. Look, we're 2 points off the top now, but it's October. We need to be 2 points off the top in April. You know, so there's a hell of a long way to go. So at the moment, we can only be happy, you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, we always say winning breeds momentum, doesn't it? It breeds, it's a, you know, a great thing to continue with. Unfortunately, we go into the interdole now, as I call it, which hasn't come at a good time for us because we're on a great roll at the moment. So, Kev, out of today, let's just go for the other four goals at the moment, all right? We've got Lacazette on two. We had Aubameyang on two. Out of the four, what was your favourite one?
My favourite one was Lacazette's second goal, because when Fulham actually pegged us back, you think to yourself, oh, you know, because Fulham had some chances to start with in the first half, really, and they didn't start too bad. So it was a matter of, you know, can we get our noses in front again? And it kind of came out of nothing the way he took it. Fantastic finish. And that's what laid the foundation to really go on and put them to the sword. So I think that was my favourite goal, apart from obviously Ramsey's, the fantastic team goal.
You know, a lot of people are talking about that goal, comparing it to Wilshere against Norwich. For you, which one was better, Tom, Ramsey or Wilshere?
Oh, it's... I still go with Wilshere. I mean, I'm still taking nothing away from the Ramsey goal, but I'd love the interplay between Wilshere and Giroud, the little flicks just outside the box before he finished it wonderfully past Norwich goalkeeper. It was a fantastic goal. And whilst I think there was more element of luck about the Ramsey goal today, like Bellerin's flick coming off and then the way Ramsey was heading the ball forwards, and it took a lot more... there was a lot more that could have gone wrong in that. I appreciated the skill of the Wilshere and Giroud combination slightly more than the Rams goal. But that is taking absolutely nothing away because they're two absolutely ridiculously brilliant goals.
Kev?
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good assessment, actually. Look, the goal today, as far as I'm concerned, was special in a sense because the way the substitutes were involved, the way Mkhitaryan's pass to Aubameyang actually affected the defence, because maybe it seemed as though we'd actually overhit the pass, but Aubameyang's speed got there and Ramsey kind of held that fantastic finish. But I think technically the Jack Wilshere goal with Giroud, especially around the edge of the box, so intricate, made that technically a better goal.
I agree, actually. Skillful-wise, it's definitely that goal. This is more of a team one, isn't it? This one. This is, what was there, five players involved? It was just lovely to watch, wasn't it? I mean, I'm only comparing it and saying which one's better because I've seen it on Twitter. But I think they're both fabulous, you know, in their own rights, aren't they? And it's just lovely to see. I mean, look, we've won nine straight games in all competitions. That is just brilliant. Ramsey was on the pitch for 39 seconds before he did that. Tom, you know, what do you feel about the fact that it just looks like he's not staying? And we don't know if it's down to him or down to the club or the fact that Gazidis is gone or Emery, they haven't got the money. What do you think on this?
It is really interesting. I expected him to leave way before the news that he wouldn't be signing or supposedly won't be signing a new deal came out. I just feel like he's been a player that has gone on record many times saying about his ambition to play in another league besides the Premier League. I think he obviously he's seen his compatriot in Gareth Bale move to Spain and have great success over there. He's seen that and he sort of wants to replicate it as well. And he, now in his late 20s, only a couple of years away from his 30th birthday, his next move is the next one to define sort of the end part of his career. And if he stays at Arsenal for one more contract, by the time he leaves, he will not be in his prime anymore. And so that's why I sort of understood if he was going to leave, why he would. If he does leave, I expect him to leave for a foreign team. It would be a massive surprise to me if he does stay in England. However, what in terms of like why and how it seems to be happening and the interest with supposedly we actually agreed a deal with him is that I can't remember where it was, and that's really bad, especially thinking about it with my source. It might have even been on Arseblog when I listened to it, but I think it was mentioned that whilst we agreed a fee, agreed a contract with him verbally, whilst it was agreed, his agent continued to sort of shop around and advertise Ramsey to other teams, which when Arsenal found out about, didn't take too kindly to it. That's a rumour that I had heard. If it's not true, then fair enough. But it does make sense if that was true for Arsenal to then say, That's not very respectable at all, considering we've agreed a deal with you, and so we're going to take our offer off the plate. In which case, I have great respect for that because I think that'd be the right decision to do.
I mean, you know, coming on 39, I've got a little stat actually. I don't normally have stats. The fastest Premier League goal by an Arsenal substitute since December 2007, which was Bentner versus Spurs. He did it in 35 seconds. Kev, have you ever done anything like that?
I've scored from being off the bench, but not so quick. Well, I mean, look, it just goes to show the guys coming off the bench are, they know exactly how the manager wants them to play. And two, they're very comfortable in the system in what they're being asked to do. But no, I haven't come off the bench and scored so quick. No, unfortunately not.
Amanda, if I may, just ask Kevin very briefly.
Yeah, sure.
I'm interested to know, as a player, obviously, the feeling of scoring a goal is always fantastic. But when you score from coming off the bench, is there that little bit extra panache on that in terms of like your self-confidence, knowing that you weren't picked to start? However, you've come off the bench and you've really shown everyone what you're about and you've scored a goal. Is it better to score as a feeling from off the bench or from starting?
Well, it's better to score no matter how you get on the pitch, whether you start or you're on the bench. I mean, what we've noticed under Unai Emery is he will pick a team that he feels will win. And if you're Aubameyang, you find yourself on the bench today. If you're Aaron Ramsey, you find yourself on the bench today. It's happened to Lacazette earlier on in the season, didn't it? You know, he got no favourites in that sense. So when that does happen and you do get on the pitch, it's up to you as a player to maximise the time. And scoring after 39 seconds is definitely maximising the time. Aubameyang getting on the pitch is maximising his time with two goals. But what the manager's also doing, he's actually game planning on some of Fulham's weaknesses, because he knows when Fulham get tired, the likes of Ramsey, who likes to bomb forward and get in the box late, and Aubameyang with his searing speed is going to really cause them a problem. So that's what he uses. And I've got to say, I thought Danny Welbeck and Alex Iwobi today were fantastic. They really worked that back four or back three for Fulham really hard. Then it paves the way for the likes of Ramsey and Aubameyang to come on and really make a big difference.
So can we go back to that, please? Can we talk about Iwobi and what the hell has happened to him? Look, do you remember, I think, at the beginning of the season, Kev, we said that we fancied Iwobi to actually start progressing. I'm sure we spoke about this. And
yeah,
I said,
flourish. We said, yeah, he will flourish. Yeah,
he will flourish under a different manager. I just feel that I did not expect this, though. What do you think of him at the moment?
Kev? Me personally, I think Alex Iwobi has focus now. Whereas under Arsene Wenger, and look, Arsene Wenger gave him his opportunity, and obviously he's a wonderfully gifted young footballer. But I think the difference is under Unai Emery, he's got a focus to his game now, whereas he was kind of erratic before, but now he knows exactly what he needs to do. He knows how to utilize his abilities and utilize his abilities within the team. I think that's really important. And he looks fitter. He looks stronger. We can't argue with that. And he's producing performances. I think that's, I don't think he's taken some stick in the past. And I think some of it has been a bit too much. But any Arsenal fan wants the players to do well. And he will be getting a pat on the back now because he is doing the business. I think he's been brilliant.
So, Tom, I mean, I couldn't agree more with Kev on this. Do you feel the same way? Did you feel that he could progress this season? But I just want to point out something Kev said as well about the abuse. Okay. I think abuse is a bit of a hard term, Kev, because I feel like we can criticise players regardless of who they are. Like, you know how much I love Ozil, but I will criticise him if I feel like that. And I do feel sometimes it does go over the top, and I have heard it more at away games. Not necessarily, I think, if anyone, it's Xhaka that gets more abuse than anyone that I've ever heard at games. But what I love about a player, Kevin, I just want to go back to you quickly. If you'd have heard that abuse about yourself, does it spur you on to go, sod you, I'm going to prove it, or does it affect you and affect your game?
Well, it can affect you, Amanda. And look, if you play professional football and you don't come under any stick, that means you're not playing.
Mm.
Because form can dip. You're not always going to be fantastic on the pitch, and flak starts to fly. But what you tend to do and what you tend to learn is you've got to have that thick skin. You've got to have that thick skin and use some of that abuse as fuel to perform better. And I think that's what Alex Iwobi's doing. He's using it. He's got a manager now who believes in him, and he knows exactly what to do and how to do it. And he's flourishing. And that abuse will soon die down when you're performing. And it is. And I'm sure it's dying down. Everybody's saying what is like a new player. Brilliant.
So coming back to you, Tom, what's your thoughts on Iwobi and what's going on?
I think he's now obviously under a management that is giving him some of the best coach to player coaching possible, which I don't think he was getting as much under Arsene Wenger. Arsene Wenger was very much a view to the whole team as one unit. And whilst Unai Emery loves to talk about the team as a unit, his player management is absolutely second to none. And I think you've really seen that with Iwobi this season. I love the fact that he's playing in a more natural position and is being allowed to develop both centrally and in a wide position as well. He's given that freedom to be allowed to cut inside and get involved with the play in more than just playing out wide and playing the ball across the box. He's allowed to be on the ball a lot more, dart into the box when he needs to, and perfect his attacking positioning and his timing. And it's increasing with every single game he plays. Relating to the abuse or criticising, whatever you want to call it, it is going to have an effect on a player in one or two ways. And obviously, I'm well aware I'm speaking in a voice call with someone who was a fantastic footballer, and speaking as someone who didn't play the game. For me, abuse is going to go one way or the other. Either it's going to spur you on as a person and as a player, or it's going to go down the other route and it's going to put you down, and it's going to be a difficult time to build up your confidence again after taking such a hit to your ego. I feel like he's gone down the more positive route. He's seen the criticism he's got. I mean, sometimes when Arsenal tweet about Iwobi, you just have to scroll through some of the comments, and some of the vitriolic words on there are disgraceful, but it seemed to really have turned him on this season, and it's fantastic to see him succeed, because he's a great player to have come through the ranks at Arsenal and see it succeed in the first 11.
I'm really pleased, and I love someone coming through adversity. You know, I didn't rate Iwobi. Like, I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon and say I could always see it. I did feel at the beginning of the season he might have a chance. I always thought he was quite a good player, and I think we're just going to see him progress more and more and more. But last season, I just felt, I think Kevin's right, actually. I think the focus wasn't there. I don't think anyone was focused last season. The fans, the squad, the board, no one's focused. And now it just seems like we're focused. I mean, I'm not being funny. I don't reckon anyone that I would have met in the summer would have said we would have been 2 points off first with City and Liverpool and Chelsea above us, right? 2 points off that lot, mid-October. I was expecting us to be sixth or seventh. I actually predicted around that sort of at this period now, okay? But going back to a pod we did, must have been 8 or 9 games ago, I did stick my neck out and say that for the next 8 or 9 games I can't see us losing. That's normally put the bock on everything, but I could just see that it was there to be taken, and they're playing with such strength and unity, which it makes such a difference. We've not seen this. I don't even know how many years we've seen this, that you've got Lacazette and Aubameyang that bloody love each other. You've got Torreira all over the pitch trying to help. You've got, and I want to talk to you, Kevin, about Xhaka. I've always thought he was a good player, but I just thought he was playing in the wrong position. And when he played in the wrong position, to me, he was useless. So do you think that him and Torreira are the match?
Look, there's been times where I've questioned Xhaka, to be honest.
So have I.
I have questioned Xhaka, especially, and this is early doors when he was with Guendouzi. You know, we questioned his abilities. We questioned, can he get a grip of the game? The issues with Xhaka seem to be subsiding now because he's got Torreira beside him. You know, we've cried out for this type of player for many years now. And now that Torreira's there, it makes Xhaka better.
Yeah.
It makes the defense better.
Yeah.
It makes us more potent in attack because this little guy, Torreira, oh my God, he breaks things up. He's on the front foot. He's a great reader of the game. And I think that's the type of person Xhaka needed beside him. And, you know, I've got to hold my hand up. I thought Xhaka had a really positive game today. And he has a couple of games with Torreira now. I think he's been really decent. So look, there's tougher tests ahead. We know that. And when you said about, you know, the next 8 or 9 games, it looks like we can win them all. Yeah, you can look at them like that, but you know as well as I do, guys, the game isn't played on paper. You've got to get out there and actually do the business. So for the guys to go out there and actually do the business, you've really have to take your hat off to them. And say, well done. They've performed really admirably.
I think so. Tom, with regards to Xhaka, was you a fan of his or not?
I am a big fan of Granit Xhaka. And I think that he's a really difficult concept to sort of gauge sometimes. I completely understand the frustration, because I experience it as well. When he gives the ball away and it leads to the opposition scoring, it is very frustrating, and I can understand that. I have a lot of sympathy, though, for Granit Xhaka, because I feel since he came into the squad, it is only until now that we're really able to see what the man is capable of. He joined Arsenal from Gladbach as someone who was not a defensive midfielder. And when he joined, a lot of people expected him to be this new defensive midfielder, and that is not the type of player that he is. He's a deep lying playmaker. He starts to play from deep in the midfield. He spreads the ball fantastically. But the thing is, Granit Xhaka needs someone next to him who is a ball winner, who can give him that security in midfield, give him the stability and the confidence to be able to play his own type of game without needing to worry too much about, if he does make a mistake, that he is the last man in that midfield and it's going to cost the team around him massively. Now he's got Torreira next to him, it gives him that security and that freedom to play his game in a more comfortable style. And I think we're reaping the benefits of that, seeing Torreira start more games next to him. And I hope for the rest of the season they build that partnership up together, and it progresses to the point where Xhaka can really show people what his real game is about.
Brilliant. And you know what, we've spoken about this game for virtually the whole pod. We have to move on, although it was brilliant to win, wasn't it, 5-1 at the cottage. Honestly, just so proud and so pleased where we are in October. Just really am. Just let's go back to the Europa Carabag. How lovely, Kev, was it to see Smith Rowe score a goal? He's 17, is he, or 18?
See, I think he's 18, I think, now. 17, 18. Look, a young player to come in and score his first goal away from home in Europe. And yeah, you know, Carabag ain't the strongest opposition, but you still got to go out there and do the business. Thoroughly professional performance. Great to see Smith Rowe play so well, and the team perform so well. Keep a clean sheet. and win the game convincingly. And this result, the Fulham result, just culminates in a fantastic week for Arsenal. Brilliant performance midweek, as I said. Fantastic.
Absolutely. I need to go back to the Fulham game because I've forgotten something. Did you hear the new song for Torreira?
The Torreira.
Yeah, I love it. I've missed singing the Vieira song and now we're singing the Torreira song.
Does make sense.
He deserves it.
He does. I love him. Kev, you said it. We all said it. It's so what we need. And you know what? For once, I did not criticise the manager every time he did not start him. There must have been a reason to the madness, as we say. Because obviously he was bedding him in. So every time I went to a game, they're going, what has Torreira got to do to start? You know, some players need time. You know, and now we're benefiting from the fact that he didn't start every single game. I think people are very quick, aren't they, with their views on certain things that the manager's doing. Anyway, yes. Right, I've got a question for you, Tom.
Go for it.
Okay, this is from Michael.
I sound like I'm in trouble.
Yes, well, this is from
Michael. You are, Tom.
Yeah. If I say Michael from the Gooners in the USA podcast...
Oh, I'm definitely in trouble. He's going to spill another drink on me in front of Kevin. That's what he's going to do.
The second question. The first question is actually quite serious for Michael. Thank you, Michael. Oh. Question to Tom. Considering Tom wasn't born yet to see the Invincibles...
Oh, God.
I feel so old now.
Can I clarify? I definitely was.
Can he comment on whether this is the most entertaining football he's seen Arsenal play in his lifetime?
Is that the serious question?
That's the serious one. Wait for the next one.
For Mike, that is incredibly serious. For Mike's information, I was certainly alive to watch the Invincibles, although it may pain both of you to tell you I was born in 94. Yeah, so 24 years young next month will be fun. But it's great to see Arsenal playing fantastic football again. The football we played during the 04 season was unbelievable. But I feel like, and I hate putting a downer on such great seasons like that, I feel like the opposition in the Premier League now is actually more competitive in today's era. So when we're putting passing plays together with a team that hasn't actually got the quality that we had back then in a league which is arguably more difficult now, is testament to how good we have improved in the 8 games under Unai Emery this season.
Okay, do you want his next question?
Want is a very odd concept.
I have no idea why this is relevant, but maybe you will know. It said, ask Tom why this would be important. Is Amanda wearing a white shirt to the pub before the Leicester game?
I don't know. I actually don't. I genuinely have no idea. Why would it? I'm assuming he's going to Leicester.
Yeah, I think he's over here.
Yeah.
Did you spill a drink down someone or something?
So it's the Watford. Let's set the scene. It's the Watford game last year. Our good friend Lee Judges. I get a call from Lee saying, I've got a surprise for you. And I was like, okay, this should be fun. And then about half an hour later, up rocks Lee with Kevin, with him at the pins. And so everyone's buzzing, obviously, because it's obviously great to speak to you, Kevin, not just here, but in person. And, Mike was already about 6, 7, 8 pints down by that point. And quite merry, so you can believe his exultation when Kevin turned up, and he got so excited at one point that he spilled an entire pint of Foster's or whatever it was down my brand new Arsenal shirt. It left me soaked and freezing for the next 3 hours that we were at the pins for. So yeah, massive thanks to Mike for that.
Isn't he a joy, old Michael? Isn't he a joy? Yeah. Oh, bless him. So, okay, next up, we have Leicester. Leicester at home on Monday night. So we're going to be playing when everyone else is finished. I'm not sure I like that idea, especially after coming out of the... why were we playing this weekend anyway? Are England playing or something?
Yeah, Nations League, that's what it is.
Oh, God, how many more of this have we got put up with? I just want to watch
it. It's a wind-up, isn't it?
Honestly, Kev, you know, we're on such a great run, isn't it? We don't want it to stop now, for God's sake. Okay, so we got Leicester at home, Monday night, 8 o'clock. I'll be there. Kev, a potential banana skin, or is this going to be number 10?
Well, obviously, they're all potential banana skins because the opposition see you whether you've got a target on your back now, because everyone will want to break that run. But the way this team, it's that feel-good factor, that energy that the team have right now. I just hope everybody comes back from international duty healthy and rearing to go. And I think the extra days rest might do us a world of good to get everybody bedded down. It is a potential banana skin, but I expect Arsenal to win the game. I really do.
Okay, so do your prediction now for it then.
I think Arsenal going to beat Leicester 4-1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 4-1.
Tom, talk to me about Leicester at home. What do you think?
Yeah, it's always a tough game against Leicester. It's definitely more tough when you have to go to the King Power, so we've got the advantage of being at home. I think, I do agree with Kevin, I think we get to the 10, which is fantastic. I don't know the last time we managed to get 10 wins in a row. Leicester are an interesting team this season. They're sitting solidly in mid-table in 10th, and they'll be without Wes Morgan because he got a red card in their defeat to Everton this weekend. So theoretically, if we can beat Everton 2-0, then surely we can beat Leicester. And that's a really awful theory to go by, but that's the best of hope I've got at the moment. So yeah, I'll go with 2-0, solid 2-0 against Leicester, the Emirates.
Okay, well, interestingly, I'm not sure you're going to agree with me on this, but I'm going for an Arsenal win of 3-2. I've just got this little feeling that Leicester are going to come at us. I think, you're right. I think this, you know, it's fantastic to have 9 on the bounce, isn't it? But, you know, I'm not being negative, but it can't last forever. And I just would love us to continue scoring the amount of goals we're scoring, because it's taken us above Tottenham in the league. Look, I know I'm a sado, but I miss St. Tottenham's Day. It's normally around March time. We haven't had it for a couple of seasons. I want my Tottenham's Day back, please. So we need to keep scoring. And we're scoring. You know, I just feel like I'm watching a different Arsenal in all respects. It's just lovely to watch. So I'm going for 3-2. Now, I don't know what Sophie's going to do, but we will put out our predictions before then. Anyway, we will. So we end this pod for once, Kevin, for once being totally and utterly ecstatic, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So, Kev, isn't it amazing? We go to the cottage, we win 5-1, we've got happy days ahead of us. It's such a difference to last season, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You know, look, when you look at what's happening now, I think it's really important. New manager comes in, nobody knew what to expect. New manager obviously has to start working with the squad. And it was, a lot of the players weren't his players. He brought in a few players. But I think that the great thing about it, what we're witnessing now, is you're actually seeing the blueprint of what the manager is implementing in training. There's a togetherness, there's an energy about the squad that we haven't seen in a long time. I think the way the team are without the ball is really important, that there's a hunger there to win the ball back and to win games. And that camaraderie and togetherness that is being shown, even with the fan base, you know, the way the players were celebrating with the fans when they were scoring goals. I think that's really important to get the fans back on side. So it's so many ticks in the boxes for positivity. Again, we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves. We know there's tough tests ahead, etc. But it's just a nice feel-good factor to see the team progressing the way it is.
Tom, do you feel as positive?
Yeah, I do. I think overall we've had a really positive podcast, actually, talking about the game and being 9 wins on the trot. It is a shame that we've got to have this interlull break now just to break us up. I think that looking forward, though, and considering this break, fortunately, we have quite a few players who are not going away. For instance, Alexander Lacazette is not part of the French team.
Good.
And so, yes, so it's a good thing, definitely. And neither is Guendouzi. I'm not sure if Monreal is part of the Spain squad. It's definitely something I should know, but I just haven't been up to date with the international stuff recently. And Mustafi as well, and we've got quite a few players that aren't. So I don't think players will come back too fatigued from that, and so we should be in quite a good place to face Leicester. But looking forward, ultimately, our goal at the start of the season is, as I said previously in the show, is to get ourselves back into that Champions League, and we're setting ourselves in the right run of things. And if we can approach that Liverpool game, which really will be the true test of this new look, in-form Arsenal side with continuous wins under our belt, it'll be in a really good place to face that team.
I absolutely agree. And we're all really excited. It's unusual. I remember podcast after podcast last season, it was just miserable, you know, just wanted the season to end. So, yeah, so well done to our boys today. Very exciting. Kev, thanks as ever for joining me on the Hybrid Squad. And for everything,
you're welcome, my
for everything you bring to us, we love having you on here. And I'm speaking on behalf of Sophie, of course.
Pleasure.
And thank you, darling. And Tom, well, I've wanted you on for ages. So sorry about a few mishaps, but you've joined us when we've won a very, very good win today. So that's brilliant. Thanks for coming on, Tom.
No problem. Couldn't have picked a better game for it.
You couldn't. And tell us again, what's your Twitter name?
At TCanada94.
And everyone can catch you on Gooner Talk TV, is it?
Yeah, Gooner Talk TV. There's a couple of articles coming out as well. It should be quite fun if you want to read those. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Well done. Thank you, Tom. So, everybody, thank you for listening. Please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're everywhere. We just love talking about our club in the good, in the bad. And today has been especially good. So, always Arsenal.